The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So there is another layer to the Javi Baez deal. Apparently, when was this? Apparently, this was posted yesterday. Apparently, Javi Baez slid into home plate with the winning run on a game that was resumed from April 11th. It was resumed. Mm-hmm. He slid into home plate and lost his earring. There was a search party out on the field, including team president Sandy Alderson.
No.
Looking for Javi Baez's earring.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Pete Incaviglia is rolling over in his grave. If he was dead, I mean, he would be rolling over in his grave. Pete Incaviglia is none too pleased with hats that are tilted at all, or flat brim hats, or he's the old school. Okay, what do you think Johnny Unitas would have thought of everybody looking for Javi Baez's earring on the field?
I think he would have been a pretty big fan.
What do you think Joe Namath would have thought of it?
Joe Namath, why don't you stay with baseball?
Okay. Namath would have been like, oh, dude, lost his earring, got to get it.
What do you think Bob Gibson and Nolan Ryan would have thought?
Nolan Ryan. What does Nolan Ryan think?
Hey, what's he out there looking for in the dirt? What's in the dirt? His contact? No, he's got a diamond studded earring out there.
The team president is out there looking for Javi Baez's earring.
And then he... Okay, so that happens. Did they find it?
Here is Sunday, after Javi Baez gets to home plate, after a home run, and does two thumbs down to the fans. Here's what he had to say afterwards.
So is that a thumbs down to fans then?
Yeah, to let them know that when we don't get success, we're going to get booed. So they're going to get booed when we success.
Okay. Fans
are going to get booed when they have success.
Yeah, because they're booing them when they don't have success.
Right.
So now, yesterday, he kind of changed.
So that was Sunday hockey.
That was Sunday. Okay. And this is Tuesday.
Do you have any regret for either the comments or the gesture themselves?
I mean, I didn't mean to offend anybody. This is something that I've done in the past against the other team. I did it in LA to the dugout. It's not like I might say something wrong about I was booing the fans, and I really meant to boo me now, and not to the fans, to our dugout, because I done it with the other team against other teams, but I never seen it the same fans, and I didn't say the fans are bad, I love the fans, but I just felt like we were alone. Like the fans obviously wants to win, and they pay our salary, like everybody says, but we want to win too. And the frustration got to us, and I didn't mean to offend anybody. And if I offend anybody, we apologize, and I won't lose anything with that, And we just try to move forward and leave this in the back.
That straightened it out.
Yeah, no, that's. Because that's what I thought. Yeah, I've done this with
other
fans and other teams, but now, just doing it to our fans.
Yeah, but I didn't mean to. Hurt anybody.
So I did it with my teammates, but also the other fans and the other dugout and our fans.
I didn't mean to
offend anybody.
Yeah.
That was the longest,
worst,
mumbling, stuttering prick. I thought you said you was all right, Spider. I thought, no, you're not all right, Baez.
That was the worst soundbite since Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
And before that, since Miss North Dakota or whatever she was.
I personally believe that was...
Here you go.
I don't know. I don't know if
the thumbs.
I don't know quite. I don't quite know how to answer that. To be honest,
the thumbs down for but like I've done it to other fans and other teams, and then like so. Then I did it to our players and dugouts and fans.
But
I do it for other
play. Also, I just play Baez real quick at the beginning of Baez again real quick.
Wait, you went the first one?
I think he said, I thought you said spider. He did. I did. At some point, I think he said that.
Okay, let's listen.
I didn't mean to offend anybody. This is something that I've done in the past against the other team. I did it in LA to the dugout. It's not like I might say something wrong about I was booing the fans, and I really meant like to like boo me now, like, and not to the fans.
He meant to boo him. Did you hear that?
I done it with the other team against other teams, but like I've never seen it the same fans, and like I didn't say the fans are bad.
Spider.
Like I love the fans, but like
I love the fans though.
I just felt like we were alone, like the fans. Obviously, wants to win, and like they play.
Fans, they want to win.
He said it.
What?
Here, play. Start playing it again. What? If you got, here, be quiet.
What?
You got to listen because he did say that.
He did. He said.
Yes.
Okay. Here, let me hear.
I thought you said that you were all right, Spider.
You see that he says he it right it. At the very end of the at the very end of the comments. He's like, and then the fans are.
Yeah.
We were alone. But then I said, boo me now, you know?
Yeah.
And then I did it to the other fans, but then also to my team. And then I
thought you said spider.
You thought you said you was all right, spider. Javi Baez. Booing Mets fans. That is going to go extraordinarily for him.
No. You New York fans love that.
You know, that was the whole conversation. So I listened to the very end of... whose show was it on ESPN yesterday? It was Mike Greenberg. And Greenberg asked his producer, who is clearly a Mets fan, he goes, hey, what would you rather do? Have your genitals disfigured, die instantaneously, or have a dinner with your least favorite food with Javier Baez? He's like, well, not the genital one. He goes, bring on instantaneous death. I'm not doing anything with Javi Baez.
Instantaneous death is...
Javi Baez is dead to this guy, his producer. And my guess is that New York radio, Javi Baez is dead because the Mets are a massive disappointment this year. So you got the guy telling the fans, the guy who, A, Yankee fans are going to really love it when a game has to be delayed while they look for your earring. First and foremost, they're going to be pissed that.
No. Yankee fans.
They can't stand Mets when you're crossing the street when you're supposed to. The cars, they literally.
No, they don't cross
the street.
When does a New Yorker ever cross the street when he's supposed to?
If you have the right of way and a New Yorker starts walking across the street like the light's on, they get mad at you and will scream at you.
Yeah.
You think they're going to be okay with Javier Baez thumbs downing them? Forget about it.
No, that's one of the dumbest moves ever. One of the dumbest moves. And then I thought you said spider. You got to keep that soundbite because do you want to talk about double talk? Holy crap.
I still think Gerrit Cole's is the best because he literally froze up. That was a terrible answer, though.
No.
None of it made sense. Gerrit Cole's was such a freeze up where he got asked a question and he said,
what about? About tech, about spider tech. It's another spider. A spider tech.
So the U.S. soccer fans, what is it that they do? See, I'm acting like you're Dell, like you'll know the U.S. soccer fans, but we are. No, they got a chant. What is the chant?
Years ago, it was the Island.
What about the Mexican chant? You want to do that one?
We believe that it's something
Yeah, I believe we will win.
We believe we will win.
Yeah. We believe we will. And it's a buildup.
Yeah.
Listen to Gerrit Cole build on every. He goes, I personally believe. Then he goes back, I personally believe that, or whatever he says. Here.
I don't know if.
Now he'll build on that.
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
Building.
Starting again. Yeah. Listen, the very beginning. He goes.
I don't know how to answer that.
I believe that we will win.
Hey, this afternoon on the Wheelhouse, Greg McElroy is going to be joining them, college football expert. He's going to talk a little bit about SEC, what's going on there. And Tim Kirkjian is going to join as well. Interesting to see what a former Alabama quarterback feels about Texas and Oklahoma joining the league.
He had some great comments about the Cam Newton situation in New England and Mac Jones. Of course, he watched Mac Jones. He had some really good rookie quarterback talk yesterday out with Mike Greenberg that I found interesting. And I always love listening to Tim Kirkjian.
When you look at the Astros bullpen situation, they have a lot of really good potential relievers who are former starters.
And then he's going to go off like that. I'm a big fan of Kirkjian, so I think he's got a funny accent. The funniest thing to me, or the weirdest thing, is that Tim Kirkjian back in the day was a big-time baller. He would go to Cal Ripken's famous pickup basketball games. LeBradford Smith used to go, former NBA first rounder, former Bay City Black Cat. Tim Kirkjian would go to those basketball games and play pickup ball, and they're like, Tim Kirkjian can ball. He's supposedly a really good basketball player. A good athlete.
Yeah, a little point guard. He was
what else is he going to be?
Wow. You want to talk about SEC? There's something happening in the SEC I've never seen before. We will do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And right now I'm talking about my peeps over at Absolute Marble and Granite. And that's Jeff Aronoff, my guy. That's my guy. Of course, his workers are spectacular, too. And he depends mightily on them to get that job done. But he's overseeing the whole thing. And, you know, it was like when he did my outdoor kitchen, it was like, I mean, so efficient, so well done. The guys were fantastic at what they did. It all came together. It was just, you know, something that he had, Jeff Aronoff had planned out, and it came together all in a perfect way that we had exactly what we wanted, and we got it at the price, and it was just perfect. And it all was just, you know, in his head and how he was going to do it and how he was going to design it. And you know what? He might draw plans for you or whatever the case may be. If you need an entire outdoor kitchen, that can be the case. But the case is this, is that my job was done perfect and it couldn't have been any better. And yours will be too. Give him a call, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. You're looking for that big job at your home or business, Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We named Zeb Nolan our starting quarterback for this week. He's a guy, obviously he has Power 5 experience. It wasn't that long ago. He played in a playoff game a few months ago.
So that was Shane Beamer, the head coach at South Carolina. And he announced that Zeb Nolan was his starting quarterback. Why is this odd? Because just weeks ago, Zeb Nolan was a grad assistant at South Carolina. He went from coaching the team to their starting quarterback. He started his college career at Iowa State, and he stunk it up so bad, they put in Brock Purdy, and Brock Purdy never looked back. So he transferred to North Dakota State, and he was behind Trey Lance there. But did Trey Lance get hurt, and that's how Zeb Nolan got into the championship game? I don't know. I don't know how that worked.
How long ago?
Not last year, because they didn't have a championship game, but the year before?
Must have been, because I...
Or was it last spring? Was it last spring?
I think it's last spring.
Maybe it was last spring.
I think it's last spring.
Maybe it was last spring, because Trey Lance didn't... Whatever the case may be, I don't... whatever the case may be, you know, Gardner Minshew was going to be a grad assistant. He was going to be.
That's where he was headed for.
Yeah, he was headed for grad assistant. And Leach, instead, he went to Wazoo, Washington State, and he ended up drafted by the Jaguars, and now he's an NFL great.
Yeah, so the last games that Zeb played were in 19.
In 19.
Yeah, in 18, he was, 11, well, recent games, it says 11-16, 11-9, so that couldn't have been last year against Youngstown State. And yeah, so I don't know. So he was, it was North Dakota State?
North Dakota State. Well, apparently
He
played in the spring this year.
Yeah, but these are not spring dates. This last passing they have on him were in September games.
If you go to North Dakota State's website, they actually have dates from
ESPN all the February may not have through April updated games. For whatever reason.
ESPN.
Yeah, the last game he played was against South Dakota State on April 17th.
Okay.
He went 0-1, and that was it.
Well, I mean, how are you not going to start at South Carolina then when you throw one pass against South Dakota State? How would you not be able to be? Boy, they must be devoid. No wonder Shane Beamer had to come in. They must be devoid of anything.
Well, I mean, my gosh, you got, you've had quarterbacks transfer, but it's a mess when you've got a guy who's like basically a grad assistant stepping in as your starting quarterback.
See, as a dad of a guy who was a bit of a journeyman and had to, you know, go down and went to try to. And it just didn't work out. I'm rooting for Zeb Nolan. I'm hoping that Zeb Nolan just kicks ass, ends up getting drafted or whatever, or at least has a wonderful season this year, and just balls out.
Why is that?
Because I've seen the journey that Zeb Nolan was on.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it. It's about the same, you know. JT went to Rice, and then he went to Missouri State, and now he just said, "Oh, I'm done." Zeb Nolan said, "Oh, I'm done too." Except, wait a minute, put the pads on. Hold on, you got another shot. So that's to me a wonderful story. You know, especially Zeb Nolan was probably, he went to Iowa State, so he had probably had a great high school career. JT had a really nice high school career, and it just didn't work out. His pinnacle of his football career was high school. And you know what? Oh, well, that's great because a lot of kids don't even experience that. But for Zeb Nolan to get a shot, especially at this level, to be doing this, that's awesome.
Well, Beamer also said that his confidence from it stems the fact that he had turned the offense over to Zeb Nolan. Zeb Nolan designed the entire thing.
He is very efficient, getting us in and out of the huddle, commanding the offense, controlling what's going on out there. He has a great understanding of what we're doing offensively because he spent the entire summer, as I know he told you guys, drawing up the playbook and coaching. So we've got a lot of confidence in Zeb being able to go out there and operate at a high level.
So what's South Carolina's under over on wins? Because I'm going under. Because I hate to do that but when you got grad assistants drawing up your offense,
yeah,
it doesn't sound optimal for an SEC school.
What if they're drawing it up and running all the plays?
He's doing both. Conference. Man, he's got to be busy. He's got more jobs than Bill O'Brien had here.
Conference wins. You ready? I got it right here.
Okay.
If you're interested.
Yeah, I want to hear.
You want to see South Carolina? Oh, no, they don't offer South Carolina.
They don't. Well, of course they don't offer South Carolina. They got.
Oh, no, it's conference wins. It's conference wins here. How many do you think?
How many conference wins? Eight game schedule?
How many conference wins does Texas have?
How many? They've got
over under.
They've got 9-game conference schedule.
What's the over under on Texas conference wins?
Mm-hmm. Under over is going to be 6.5.
Six flat.
Six. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you like?
I would probably take the over.
I'm really curious to see how Texas does. I don't know what to expect. I really don't. I don't know what to expect from. You got a new quarterback. You've got some of the offensive linemen still in place. You got a very, very good running back. You lost wide receivers, but those guys couldn't even catch. Like those, it was such a disappointing crop of receivers they had. You have a brand new head coach in who's coming off of a year where I thought he just drew up some phenomenal plays and really dialed it up great for Alabama. But then again, he's got, you know, the most horsepower of any coach over the last couple of years. I'm really interested to see how two people do. Steve Sarkisian with the Longhorns and Bill O'Brien with Alabama. Bill O'Brien's got Bryce Young, who's his heralded quarterback, right? And he's got Brian Robinson, a really good running back. But he lost a lot of offensive linemen. And you also lost Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle. So I'm curious to see if there's any hiccups over there in Alabama. Because if there is, this is not a lie. I was imagining a scenario that Bill O'Brien got yelled at on the sideline by Nick Saban, like on TV. I imagine, okay, what if I'm watching on TV and Nick Saban starts chewing out Bill O'Brien? Will Bill O'Brien do what we saw Lane Kiffin did this a lot? I didn't see him chewing on Sarkisian as much.
You think he's going to do, hey, you suck too?
Well, I'm wondering if it could get physical or if he's going to turn and start screaming at him. I tried to envision a scenario where Nick Saban yells at Bill O'Brien. How will Bill take that?
I think Bill will take it. I think Bill will have to take it.
I think he probably will, but I let my mind wander a little bit about what it would look like.
There are many other coaches other than maybe Belichick that he would take it from because of the success that Nick Saban has had.
And because of he's over there for a very specific purpose.
Yeah, because he's doing his rehab.
It's rehab.
He's rehabbing. Yeah.
I told Patrick Creighton this months ago. I would pay extra on my ESPN Plus account if they have, because they have cameras at every game now, because that's what
just
they do.
Just a Bill O'Brien camera.
Just a Bill O'Brien sideline camera. Just to watch that.
Yeah.
The entire game.
I don't know if I'd pay more for it, but if you gave me an...
I want to watch Bill O'Brien on the sideline.
If you gave me an online option, I'd probably go to that option.
A picture-in-picture of Bill O'Brien the whole time?
Well, I'd like to see it, especially if things get going tough.
Yeah.
If they're in a really tough game, because... I mean, I don't think it's crazy.
Well, and not only that, if he's yelling down Tom Brady on the sideline in an NFL game, can you imagine what he's going to do to ukulele?
Well, this is what he's done.
Oh, no, this is Bryce Young. Ukulele's at Clemson.
Yeah. He screamed down Tom Brady, and Tom Brady jumped on him and then they were yelling at each other. He got into it with Randy Moss, which ended up getting Randy Moss kicked off the team. That happened on a team plane. That one hasn't been reported on as heavily, but it was Bill O'Brien that got into the fight with him. He crowded up on at the halftime of a Tennessee Titan game against the Texans. He brought in Brock Osweiler after he had been on the bench. He brought him in, and I guess he was trying to talk to Brock Osweiler, and Brock tried to walk by him at halftime to go back out to the field. And Bill supposedly body checked him into the wall or lockers or whatever.
Yeah,
it was
awesome.
The story is he started asking for help. Like Brock was like, help, hey, someone. He tried to get, you know, and there was somebody supposedly guarding a door so no one could get in. It's just, I'm telling you, I found out so much about Bill O'Brien that even when he was a coach, and I just started realizing, oh my God, what have they done? They have given this lunatic the keys to the kingdom. Everything they gave, and this guy's he's got, we know he has that. He yelled that at the fans. He went thumbs down. He's the original thumbs down to the fans guy. But I just want to see what happens when Nick Saban gets in his kitchen, if he'll maintain his cool. My guess is yes.
It's not my job to do that.
If he continues throughout a half, I think there is a chance we could see ESPN or CBS Sports or whoever focusing in on, hey, and during the break, there was a little issue on the Alabama sideline. I'll be
every
like,
time,
what was it?
Listen, every time it happened with Lane Kiffin.
Oh, we always saw it.
We always saw it.
No, they got a camera on it.
Yes. Well, there's always one on Nick, and whoever Nick is berating, they've got a camera on.
And if Bill O'Brien gets back in his face, they're going to say, well, during a break, when we were going to a break, when the Alabama offense came off the field and the punting unit went on, this exchange between offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien and Nick Saban really caught our eye, and this is something that is a concern. Bill O'Brien screamed at him, gave him double rods.
And said, you suck too. MF-er.
I just want to see.
826 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, Taylor McCarg, the former Rice quarterback. He works for ESPN now. He's a college football analyst. So we'll have him to talk about this college football season, see his thoughts. He's a former quarterback, his thoughts on Zeb Nolan, his thoughts on the quarterback situation at the University of Texas. Casey Thompson is going to play, too. Hudson Card won the job, but Casey Thompson is going to play. And, oh, by the way, he might play sooner than later if they fall behind Louisiana. And there's a chance that Texas falls behind Louisiana because Louisiana is pretty damn good.
Well, Texas loves, I can tell you, Herman and that staff, they loved Hudson Card.
Yeah.
Like, loved.
He's a local guy, too.
You weren't going to play him ahead of, you know, Sam Ehlinger, obviously.
No.
But they loved him. So I'm really interesting to see how Card and Thompson do, because I think Thompson's got some juice, too. I think it's an interesting quarterback duo they have going over there. And I haven't seen Haynes King, so I've seen plenty of Clayton Toon.
Haynes King got into a game last year that he threw a couple of passes.
I probably saw him and didn't think twice about it.
It was interesting. I thought, this is the really great athlete. I was like, really?
Jimbo wants him to work.
No,
in the
I know
pocket
he's
anyway.
Going to be a pocket guy. There's no question. So we'll talk about all that with Taylor McCart on the other side, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, Allstate
Siding and Windows. This is the website. Here's what you need to do with Allstate Siding and Windows. The first thing you need to know is I want you to be comfortable with the company. So Allstate Siding and Windows has been in business for 50 years, family owned the entire time. Really great people. It means a lot to them. They have family working there. It is who they are. And so their customer service is going to be top notch. I mean, that's very important to them. But what is important to me also is that you have these windows that their regular windows are hurricane strength. They're built to withstand 130 miles an hour of wind, but they have even stronger hurricane strength that are made for the hurricane areas that are even stronger than that. If you're listening further south, their windows can help eliminate all the sound and the noise outside, and they're great for patching up those leaky, those leaky windows. When they retrofit it custom to the space in your home that you need retrofit, and so you start seeing lower energy bills as well. 25% off window installation. You can buy 10, get 2 free if that's what you're looking for. Or if you're looking for siding, they will really upgrade the appearance of your home and improve the energy efficiency. $2,000 off complete siding jobs. Call them today, 832-204-1936. You need to get started now. 832-204-1936 or go to allstatesidingandwindows.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, and if you don't remember Taylor McCarg, he was a very good Rice quarterback. Took a beating. And I remember how tough he was and how he just kept getting up and fighting back, and was a really good quarterback at Rice during his time. And now he's an ESPN analyst, and he's joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk a little college football. Taylor, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, we appreciate you being here. I've seen your work over the last couple of years. You're moving up in the ranks. What's your job going to be? Are you getting many games this year?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. I've got some Conference USA, some Southland. There's a couple other, the American. I'm still waiting to hear back on a couple things. So still, you know, not 100% certain on all the games just yet, but it's going to be a busy fall. I'm looking forward to being back in person. And, you know, a lot of the games last year were remote, and
yeah,
just ready to be back in stadium.
Yeah, you like games more or studio analysis more?
Yeah, I love the games. I think, you know, this was my way of getting back involved in the game. I didn't want to get involved in coaching, but I love, I mean, there's nothing better than a game day, right? There's nothing better than a college football Saturday. And being in the box, feeling the energy, I think there's, I enjoy that much more than the studio stuff is fun, but can't beat actually physically being on campus in the press box.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, I love it too. It's so much the energy, everything about it. The excitement, the even you know, it doesn't matter what game you're doing, It's a game, and it's a lot of fun. Taylor McCarg with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We were just talking about Zeb Nolan at South Carolina, and what a great story that is. Boy, that's a guy. He's been a journeyman. He's been around, had a great high school career, and his college career has been a disappointment. And what a shot he's got now being South Carolina's starting quarterback.
It's an incredible story. I mean, if you think back, I remember watching him at Iowa State. The kid can play. I shouldn't say kid. I think he's 24 years old. The guy can play and has bounced around a little bit. And the fact that he's taken advantage of this opportunity, I think, is great. I think it's great that South Carolina was open enough to give him a look. I think it would be very easy for a staff to say, this guy's an assistant coach. He hasn't been preparing for this. We're not going to give him a shot. But it's an incredible story. I would love to see him have a ton of success for South Carolina this fall.
It's a movie. It's a movie if he does well this year.
It really is.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. How did Hudson Card win that job, and how are they going to use Casey Thompson?
Yeah, I think Hudson Card just has the higher ceiling. And Casey Thompson, if you go back to his performance last fall against Colorado when Sam Ellinger got hurt, he does some nice things. He's a talented quarterback, but this really just came down to Hudson Card has the potential to be another four-year starter at Texas, NFL draft pick kind of guy, and Casey Thompson just doesn't have that ceiling. I know Sarkisian mentioned, you know, that we're going to see Casey Thompson in this game. I'm not certain of you know, what that's going to look like and how the flow of this game is going to go, because this is I don't know if this is a back-and-forth game and this is a tight contest and Hudson is playing well. I'm not sure where you jam in Casey Thompson if it messes up the flow of the game. It's really going to be dependent on what's the back-and-forth look like. Casey's not this isn't a wildcat quarterback. This isn't, you know, somebody that you just jam in a third and short scenario. They have Bijan, right? They don't need a short yardage specialist, and that's not what Casey Thompson is. So I know that Sark mentioned he's going to play. I'm surprised to hear him say that coming into the game. Some of it, I wonder if this is posturing to try and make sure that Casey's engaged and doesn't immediately enter the transfer portal. So we'll see how it shakes out on Saturday.
I think that's one of the things that's really changed a great deal, especially with, you know, no time to sit out anymore where you can just transfer and play. I think coaches trying to find a way to keep backups engaged and maintain quality depth across college football landscape, especially, you know, if you're dealing with some three and certainly plenty of four or five star guys who are not the starters. I guess you're going to have to soothe some egos and do what you can to try to keep them in your school just to help maintain that depth, because they can be called on at any time. They could end up winning a job over the other player, but so many of the players now are just jumping in the portal so quickly.
Well, that's just the nature of college football now. I mean, the opportunity to transfer, you have the one-time free transfer. Look at Tanner Mordecai transferring out of Oklahoma immediately to SMU, and he wins that job. I think that's become the norm. If you're a four- or five-star guy, especially at the quarterback position, you go to an Ohio State, a Texas, a Florida, a Notre Dame. It doesn't matter. Go compete for that job as a freshman, and if you lose it, transfer to you can go wherever, right? Transfer somewhere else, have another crack at it, and try and win that job. And you're right, it's balancing rosters. I mean, this free agency, every year, these coaches are having to live with this. And it goes down to really every level of college football. I did a Sam Houston State game this spring, and they talked about one of the fears that they had playing in the spring was it gave these other schools an opportunity to sort of scout their own players. Sam Houston ultimately winning the national championship, they had a couple guys that they were afraid. We've got them on national television. This is an opportunity for them to, you know, who knows who's going to reach out to them, maybe legally, maybe illegally, and they transfer up. And that's a real part of college football now that, you know, it hasn't been that long since I was playing, but this is so foreign to how college football was for really its entire existence until right now. So we're seeing it play out, and I think learning a ton as these weeks go by and these seasons go by.
Taylor McCarg with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What's going to help is a May 1st deadline to enter the transfer portal for football players. That is really going to help. Like, you were able to do that this year with SMU, but you're not going to be able to do that going forward. you got to do it before May 1st. And I think that's fair to the coaches, and it's still fair to the players. You can't just leave in the middle of camp and go, I'm going somewhere else and going to play. So, yeah, maybe he is appeasing Casey Thompson here, but that won't be necessary going forward starting next year, which is a good thing. Taylor, let's talk a little bit. Jimbo gets another extension, and the thought is that maybe, you know, Scott Woodward is at LSU, and he's going to try to grab Jimbo, no buyout on his contract, so, you know, Jimbo could go at any time.
Keep your mouth shut. Stop trying to get rid of all the Aggies coaches, John.
No, I'm not trying to get rid of them. I think the thought is by the Aggies, let's give Jimbo 3 more years, $9 million, which makes it more attractive to stay here, as opposed to go with Scott Woodward, who hired him at A&M.
Yeah, but look at Ross Bjork.
Well, yeah, Ross Bjork, you know, I mean, he's a handsome man.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Would you leave a handsome AD like that and all that money?
No, I wouldn't. But
Longhorn John showing up again.
Well, let's talk about the quarterback situation there. Haynes King beating Zach Calzada out, and Jimbo said he's leaving the door open for Zach as well at A&M.
Well, I think it goes back again for any time a freshman wins a QB job, these head coaches are not going to die on that hill and say, hey, this is our guy, no matter what, right? They're going to leave the door open that if there's a poor performance, right, if they go out and play Kent State, if they're struggling in the first half against the Kent State, you're going to see somebody else in at quarterback. I think that's the case across the board. Again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but this is Haynes King has the higher upside for A&M, and that's the piece that they have been missing the past couple of years. Kellen Mond, I don't think, ever really reached the potential that he had. His performances against the ranked teams, against the top 25 teams, he never could reach that potential. And for A&M, with what they're bringing back on defense and what Jimbo has built around the offensive line that's coming back, defensive front, I think the quarterback is the missing piece for A&M. And I had said this a couple of weeks ago on 97.5, I think A&M and North Carolina are the two, for me, the dark horses that have a chance. If you were to say preseason, who has a chance to get into the Final Four that hasn't appeared before? I think it's those two teams. That's a tall task to put, you know, on a freshman quarterback, but they have that kind of talent.
Yeah, and it's gotten to where you can't just say freshman quarterback, you don't have a chance. Like, that's been over now for a while. Freshman quarterback are major factors.
Agreed.
I think the one area, Taylor, I would have disagreed, obviously, was with four offensive linemen being replaced. And then we talked to Jimbo Fisher up at A&M, and he said, oh, no, the four coming in are going to be more talented than the offensive line we had last year that was a Joe Moore Award finalist, one of the three best offensive lines in college football. He said the talent's actually better for this unit. So, you know, when you take that into account, when you take into account Haynes King, that they believe that he can be just as good working from the pocket as Kellen Mond, maybe you do have something, because you got a lot of running backs here, and you've got some key components coming back on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned it really does. The pieces that he has coming in, you talk about that extension. I think a big part of that is this view forward into how much talent he's already brought in and what recruiting classes to date look like and the next couple classes that are coming in. It's very clear what Jimbo is building. And I think you guys led off with this, but I don't have any problem with the extension. I think they found their guy, and if there's a marriage here, keep him, because he's a proven winner. And if it's a culture fit, which it appears to be, I have no problem with him spending that money.
All right, quickly, before we let you go, I haven't been impressed with Clayton Tune so far. Dana loves him. He thinks he's going to have not at all. And he thinks he's going to have a huge year. And he also thinks that Rice is – Blomgren's doing a hell of a job over there. And that matchup, those two play early in the season, and that's going to be a scrap. Rice, what your guys over there are doing, what Mike Blomgren is doing over at Rice is pretty impressive so far.
Well, I think what's going to be interesting – We'll get a real test this week when Rice goes to Arkansas. Blomgren has said he's going to play Wiley Green and Luke McCaffrey. Luke McCaffrey is the most talented quarterback on paper that Rice has had in a very long time. I would be surprised if Luke McCaffrey ultimately doesn't win the job. We've seen Wiley Green, and he's a fine quarterback, but I have to imagine Luke McCaffrey ultimately becomes the guy. And Rice is another, you have so many of these schools because of the COVID year that brought back a ton of talent. But Rice is in that as well. Rice has virtually all of their starters come back. They lost a couple pieces on defense to transfer and injury. But I agree with you. I expect, you know, Rice gets to host U of H. U of H traditionally does not play very well when they go to Rice, even in the years that Rice wasn't very good. So I have that. Everybody's got in Houston has that game circled. I agree. I've not been super impressed with Clayton Tune at U of H. I think this is a big year. I have this, you know, their opener against Tech marked as well. That's a big game for both of those schools that both need a bounce back from last year. So this is a defining year, I think, for Dana. And like you mentioned, excited to see how this plays out for both U of H and for Rice this year.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Hey, Taylor, we appreciate it, man. Great stuff. Continued success. We'll be watching for your games, and hopefully you can join us a few more times this football season.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Anytime. I appreciate you having me on.
There's right, Taylor McCarr right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And he mentioned culture. Mark Schlereth was on with the boys in the afternoon yesterday, and he talked about Texans culture. And we'll talk about that on the other side. Mm. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We'll talk about if there's, all jokes aside, are they building one? Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll know externally if they're building culture or not.
Yeah. All right. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Champion Energy, I want you to use it. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560. If you want to save money, I've been telling you this for a dozen years. These people are the best. When your contract is up, your contract, they will tell you your contract is up and we got a better price for you. No other company does that. They got a better rate out there because they wanted you to stay with that rate that's higher and gouge you for as much as they possibly can. That's not what they do at Champion Energy. So you're looking for the electricity company that you will love, that you will stay with forever. Champion.energy/1560.
We'll take a short break.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 850 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before we get to Mark Schlereth, speaking of culture, we got a culture around here.
Yeah.
And it was established by Gilbert, I think.
Yeah.
Right. And Gilbert's on the line. He wants to talk about the Texans.
He's a culture.
We'll see what he thinks about the cuts. Hey, Gilbert, what's going on?
How you doing, German?
What did you think about Kiki QT getting cut yesterday?
Think about what?
Kiki QT got cut by the Texans yesterday. What'd you think?
It doesn't matter to me.
It doesn't matter. What about his life? And you don't care about him at all?
I care about the Deshaun Watson's on him. I don't know that well.
That's true.
Anyway.
Did you see Deshaun is on the roster as the third quarterback?
Yeah, Deshaun is.
Do you think there's anything he can do to beat out Tyrod Taylor at this point?
All I want is Cam Newton to play for the Texans anyway.
You want Cam Newton?
Is that going to happen?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe from your mouth to Nick Caserio's ear, you don't know. Maybe he didn't even think about it till now. I don't know.
It might happen, you know. Go play, I'll go Super Bowl. We get Cam Newton, you know.
If we get Cam Newton, I think the Texans are going to Super Bowl. No, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway,
Yeah.
Do you want Gilbert?
Hey, Lance, are you there, Lance?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, we think about that the NFL. What's her name again? NFL Network.
Colleen Wolf.
Colleen Wolf. What do you think about that autograph
picture for me?
Yeah, you got that
Colleen Wolf autograph picture.
Where's his autograph picture?
Okay, so
we go back to NFL Network anyway.
Maybe in the spring. Maybe I haven't been there.
Hey, where's the damn picture?
The last 2 years, where the mail system's not running anymore, so I can't get it mailed either.
Okay, email her, tell her to send you a picture of her.
You want an NFT?
No, a picture of Colleen Gilbert.
He doesn't want nothing Gilbert. Non-fungible. He wants something he can...
He likes fungible.
He likes fungible.
Gilbert's into the fungible. So, Gilbert, you want to...
What?
Okay, so you're looking for a Colleen... I'm the one, I think, who brought this up first, and this is that was on me, but... So you want a Colleen Wolf autograph picture, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. How long ago?
You're not going to stop until you get it, are you?
Nope.
Yeah.
Are get you going to?
I'll give it to you at a Christmas party. How that sounds?
We'll see if we have a Christmas party. Last year, you shut it down.
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, talk to you later. Keep the eyebrows flying, you know.
Okay.
Right, keep those eyebrows frying in December.
Gilbert's not bringing it like he used to, but he does want that. He does want that Colleen Wolf
Lance hair. No, it's about Colleen Wolf. I think I'm the one that brought it up too.
Yes, you did. That was the dumbest thing. That was one of the dumb.
I don't
things.
Want him to.
Why don't you just Cynthia text Freeland. Her and say, "Hey, can you send me a picture?"
Gilbert, have you seen Cynthia Freeland's IG page? What about her? Yeah. No. We're not doing that.
Is it appropriate at NFL for you to ask Colleen Wolf for a picture?
That's a good question. That's a fair question. Colleen's my girl, so she'd be okay with it. But in general, if I ask like MJ Acosta, she doesn't know me that well.
No.
She just knows I'm the draft guy that comes in. Probably doesn't even know me by name. If I said, hey, can I get a picture of you? Can you mail me a picture and just say, hey, thanks for watching,
keep
Gilbert.
Keep those egg rolls frying.
Can you just write "keep those egg rolls frying" on a headshot?
Egg rolls frying. Bye.
Send it to me. Can you do that? Yeah, I can tell you that HR would get involved.
Could you ask?
The NFL is very sensitive.
What about Cynthia? Can you send me one of your IG pictures? And sign it.
I'm friends with Cynthia. She was at one point dating a guy here in Houston. I don't know if she still is. I mean, he was a money guy.
Well, of course he was.
She said, I was down there in Houston. I gotta look you up next time.
Was it Chad? My buddy Chad?
No, but she said, he lives in River Oaks. I'm like,
Of course he does.
Obviously.
We know Tony Busby lives in River Oaks.
Well, you know Cal and Tony live there because they're working, they're conspiring. Remember that was the thing? Tony Busby. Oh, this is a little suspicious, isn't it, Internet? And Twitter's like, guess who else lives in River Oaks? Like River Oaks is a street. And guess whose neighbors right across the street from Tony Busby is Cal McNair. Like, well, they could actually be like a quarter of a mile apart.
Or more.
Like, I know Garrett, some kid with anime and as his avatar and 35 followers, you're making a big deal about this, but you don't really know that River Oaks is just like, it's an area of Houston.
Yeah.
That's like saying, oh, guess what? Jeff Van Gundy lives in West University, the same place that Tyrod Taylor lives. They're neighbors. They live right next door to each other. Not necessarily.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, probably not. But remember when that was a thing like Tony Busby was conspiring with the Texans
to
ruin Deshaun's career? It was House of Cards. Like, excuse me, but I've got this one figured out. Oh, look who is neighbors of the Texans, Cal McNair. And the Texans are trying to get Deshaun kicked out of football forever. They've planted evidence on him, and they're trying to get him arrested.
They're just
like,
trying
what?
To destroy all the value they could possibly get.
Oh, wouldn't that be... that's really convenient, how they've destroyed all of his value and his name and word. That makes it really hard for him to leave. Like,
but...
It's hard for him to play. The police are involved. They can't trade
him. You think
him.
This really blew up in Cal's face? You think Cal thought this through? He just already went.
When he was trying to plant evidence on Deshaun. when the Texans started first planting evidence on Deshaun, I mean, that's what Twitter basically said is, excuse me, did you tell me Tony Busby lives in River Oaks? I know someone else who does.
What was the
as
old,
well.
What was the old classified? It wasn't like the newspaper, but it was like that. Was it Houston Press when they actually had the print version that had all of the massage parlors on the back page?
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine Cal trying to like tiptoe into the Texans locker room? Nobody's in the building at all. And Cal's tiptoeing with an old copy of the Houston Press. I'm going to put it in his bag.
He's planting it
in Deshaun's locker. On the field.
Yeah. All right.
Twitter actually thought they had something.
Yeah. That was our segment on Texans culture.
Yeah, so sounds like a good culture.
Actually, well,
it's a culture of conspiracy and fraud.
Gilbert derailed the show again. Yeah, okay. Well, that just happened.
To be fair, Gilbert just had a pretty mild, tame Gilbert call.
Yeah, he really did.
We responded.
He lasted recently.
Our response was probably over the top. Yeah, it was really on us.
You know, I'm telling you this. My bookie hasn't derailed me. My bookie is awesome. It's so easy to navigate. It's a wonderful site. The best thing about it is, and I've got free play. I still got free play. Well, they give you more free play as you go along, and I forgot to use it. I've got my LSU bet down. I'm going to bet on Houston. I'm going to bet on Rice as well. And I got it all at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. And it's just wonderful. Even, you know, so when I tell you your initial deposit, they're going to match. And so you get to double play on your money, which no other bookie is going to do. But while you're a member, while you're playing, they also have a lot more free play that they give you. It's football season. You want to bet on football. I know baseball's nice. Basketball's nice. It's all great. We love football, and we love to bet on football. So if you're looking for the best way to bet on football, win, and get paid, it's mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
ESPN 97.5.